Good morning, and welcome to another episode of the O'Leary Partners Observations, aka the OPO Podcast, which is a series of one-of-a-kind observations provoking aha moments for your personal or professional life from influential Floridian professionals, top healthcare physicians, and UBS thought leaders or partners from our orbit. I'm your host, Gabrielle O'Leary, a financial advisor for the O'Leary Partners at UBS Private Wealth Management. I'm located in Miami, Florida, and I can be reached at 212-626-8735 or gabrielle.o'leary@ubs.com. Our special guest here today is Marty Hancock, Managing Director at Ag America in Tampa, Florida. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the OPO Podcast, Sunshine and Strategy, Unlocking Hidden Value in Florida Lands. We've got a fantastic conversation ahead as we dig into, figuratively speaking, the Florida land market. So whether you're a landowner, an investor, or someone deeply connected to agriculture, there is so much fertile ground to explore in Florida's ever-changing landscape. And that's why I'm so excited to have Marty Hancock join us today. Marty, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, listeners, let me tell you, Marty knows her stuff. As a managing director at Ag America, which is one of the country's leading land lenders for landowners and agricultural businesses, she has a front row seat to the latest in land and agricultural financing. She's walked the land, she's worked the land, and she's helped countless of people unlock its full potential, whether it's through farming, conservation, or setting up future generations for success. So here's what we have on the trail ahead. First, we're going to dive into those market trends shaping Florida's land and agricultural landscape. Then we'll unpack unique challenges and opportunities landowners are facing today. And finally, we'll explore actionable strategies to maximize the value of your land. So whether you're running a family farm, whether you're eyeing your next investment, or perhaps you're just plain curious about the dirt beneath your cowboy or cowgirl boots, this episode has something for you. So let's get started. Marty, let's start with you. I think your story is just so interesting. So can you share a little bit about your personal and professional background and what led you to work with Ag America?
Well, I think that you're giving me far too much credit. I don't know how interesting it is, but I graduated from business school at the height of the financial crisis, but due to a fortuitous connection, landed on Wall Street and spent the first 11 years of my career with JP Morgan, actually, building out our presence in the state of Florida based on a team in New York. And for a young female in the financial services industry, this was an experience that shaped me both personally and professionally. It definitely made me tough. I was recruited away from JP Morgan to the single family office world in Tampa, Florida, which actually is what led to my work with Ag America. Prior to all of that, I am actually most proud to be a seventh generation Floridian on both sides of my family, my mother and my father's side, having grown up in Central Florida in a multi-generational citrus and cattle family. Some of my fondest childhood memories have occurred on our family homestead property that's been in our family since the 1800s. We still have some of the original land grants hanging in the house. And helping my dad on school breaks in the orange groves or my uncle's at the cattle market or working cows were some of my cousin and my sister and I's, you know, just favorite memories as a kid. Working for Ag America has really felt like almost a coming home for me, getting to work with the farmers and ranchers that I grew up with.
Oh, I love that, Marty. And it's great that you're bringing it all home. And I love the emphasis on family, too. And I got to say, it's clear that both your professional and your personal roots give you a deep understanding of the land as well as the people who care for it. And that perspective must really align perfectly with Ag America's mission. So for listeners that may not be familiar, Marty, what do you think makes Ag America unique in the agricultural and recreational lending space? And how do you think Ag America separates itself from perhaps traditional lenders?
So my first exposure to Ag America was as a potential investor into their lending fund, the agricultural land mortgage REIT that is the backbone of the capabilities at Ag America. As a non-FDIC regulated lender and the first agricultural mortgage REIT in the United States, Ag America offers greater flexibility and access to capital compared to traditional banks. This enables us to provide faster approvals, lower down payments, and less restrictive financing options, which are a big deal to a farming operation. Rural America is losing something like 200 bank branches a day, and access to financial solutions for the American farmer and rancher is abysmal, honestly, compared to other small businesses. Our CEO, Brian Philpott, grew up in a farm family in the state of Florida and saw the dislocation in the marketplace. And he created Ag America as an alternative to the government-sponsored entities that lacked the spectrum of alternative financing solutions that farmers needed during the different stages of life that they go through, whether that be to overcome distressed years due to weather, for succession planning purposes. I mean, the list goes on and on. Few farms and ranches today can be considered conventional credit quality, but they are still good borrowers. America needs farmers. Ag America was founded as a financial services organization that puts the farmer and rancher first, crafting solutions with covenants that actually work for and with the operation versus punitively against the operation. In addition to being farmer first, Ag America provides resources and advice to help farmers optimize their operations, plan for risk, and ensure long-term profitability.
Wow, that's really fascinating, Marty. It's really clear that Ag America takes a unique and tailored approach to supporting landowners. And speaking of landowners, let's talk about landowners for a couple of minutes, because Florida's agricultural landscape deserves some serious recognition. And I know you brought up earlier, you know, oranges, right? It's not just about oranges and cattle, which is the cornerstone of the state's economy. But get this, right? According to the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, Florida's agricultural and related industries generated an impressive $182.6 billion in revenue and supports over 2.5 million jobs in 2022. That's huge. But as I say, with great value comes great responsibility, or in this case, great change. And the way that the land is owned and managed, as you alluded to earlier, it's evolving fast. It's shaped by new challenges and opportunities that are cropping up on the horizon. But for landowners, you really got to stay ahead of that game. And that notion has really never been more important. So Marty, let's dive into it. What are some of the key trends shaking up for Florida's landowners right now?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, Florida is truly one of the most diverse commodity states in the United States. We can grow everything from ornamental flowers that you find at your grocery store to cattle and beef production. And so there's not really another state that can claim that they have the focus on such a wide variety of commodities the way that Florida does. The good and the bad, right? Everybody wants to move to Florida. We have thousands of people daily that are migrating to our state. That makes our land very valuable, more valuable for development, for industrial, for commercial use, perhaps, than farm use. And so that's really one of the greatest headwinds that a Florida landowner faces right now, is that sometimes you can generate more income or a higher return off of selling the property to a developer or a real estate, you know, development project versus actually farming the land. And the storms that we've had and some of the climate, you know, issues, I mean, it snowed last week in Tallahassee. Are those poor peanut farmers up there? And that's not something that normally happens.
Well, yeah, what's going on?
Exactly. So, I mean, to bring it back to our personal situation, the series of hurricanes that we've had that have literally traversed part of, you know, the most fertile part of the state the last 10 years, we had our first profitable crop of citrus fruit on the trees, and they were scheduled to be picked the week after Hurricane Milton hit this fall. There's only so much crop insurance can do. Crop insurance might make your operation whole, but it doesn't make your operation profitable. And given that the average age of the American farmer is in their 60s, there's not that next generation that wants to really come in and deal with some of the headwinds in Florida that we're having to deal with. There's so many challenges to the Florida farmer, and there's challenges to the American farmer across the board. But Florida, you know, landowners, the value of the real estate is sometimes more valuable than farming the real estate. So that's where Ag America and smart financial advisors like you and your team, Gabrielle, are so important to guiding these farmers and ranchers into, okay, what are our strategies? How do we pull these levers to remain profitable and to remain in business?
That's such a great point, because Florida's agricultural and land markets are definitely evolving in ways that landowners can't afford to ignore. And you were talking about this earlier. You have over 9 million acres of farmland in Florida and a population on track to hit 20.7 million in 2025. So it's really clear that these shifts are going to have both short and long-term impacts. And I was also reading that it's really remarkable that the average value of U.S. farm real estate has increased approximately by 20% since the beginning of the COVID pandemic. But you kind of hit on this earlier that I'd love to unpack further. You have rising insurance costs, you have economic pressures and environmental challenges like hurricanes and water shortages. You have to wonder, how sustainable is that growth? So let's talk about this a little bit more. How do you think the recent economic shifts and environmental factors shaping land has changed? And then what do you think landowners should be thinking about in this type of landscape?
Florida land values are definitely reflecting higher competition. I mean, it's figuring out what the highest and best use of the property is. I live in Tampa, and north of us, it used to be one of the most fertile and profitable citrus growing parts of the state, and freezes kind of took that out. And now there's four shopping malls and apartments. So again, it really goes back to figuring out what the highest and best use of the land is. And unfortunately for a lot of farmers, they're figuring out that it's not farming. So the ones that want to stay in it, the landowners that want to keep fighting the good fight and protect our food supply and grow the things that we need to feed our families, they need help. They need flexible financing. Instead of being called and a bank calling them and worrying about how much of their crops on the ground after one of these storms, they need that call that's like, how can we help you? What kind of bridge financing? What kind of payment plan can we create to make sure that you can stay on top of it? I mean, we are losing almost 200 acres of farmland a day in the state of Florida. And that's not just due to farmers selling their land. That's due to sea level rise, that's due to development. When you think about that, and you think about, you know, what that acreage looks like, and I think it's almost 45,000 acres a year between now and the year 2070. I mean, that's just something that is astounding to me, those statistics. Once you develop all the land, there's no land left. So it's not a resource that's renewable.
That's a fantastic look at how those economic and environmental changes are shaping land values. And with you and the rest of your team really at Ag America, you're working so closely with those Florida landowners. You're on the front lines to these challenges that they're facing day in and day out. And it's one thing to read the numbers and the statistics that we have in our really fabulous notes, but it's a really another to see how these shifts are playing out on the ground. So from your perspective, what do you think are the most common challenges Floridian landowners face? And how is your team at Ag America helping address them?
Well, there's three main challenges, and we've kind of already hit on them, but it's loss of land, increasing land prices, and natural disasters. So, you know, loss of land, we just hit on. A third of Florida land is currently in agriculture presently, but development, sea level rise, everything we've already kind of talked about is what's causing the loss of land. And between now and 20 years from now, it's going to just continue to get worse because Florida is still going to be an attractive place to live and people are going to want to move down here. You know, land prices are the second thing. From 2020 to 2024, farm real estate value per acre in the state of Florida increased by almost 40%. And that is absolutely astounding. So if you have a farmer who is 75 years old and none of his kids want to farm the land, and they may live across the country, they may not live in Florida, a developer comes in and offers him more money than he has ever made as a farmer to buy that piece of land, I mean, what is he going to do? It's just almost a no-brainer. And so that's a huge threat to Florida farms and Florida land. And then, you know, the third one that we've also kind of already hit on, the natural disasters. Hurricanes inflicted $975 million in Florida agricultural losses this year. That is 2024. So last year, excuse me, we're in January. We're in 2025 already. That's astounding. I mean, that's one calendar year. And that's compounded with Hurricane Ian was just 2 years ago. And that pretty much flooded the entire Peace River, took out Fort Myers. That's huge. So we're not able to recover. We're not getting the, you know, disaster relief dollars. We're not getting our farms back in place to be able to recover those losses. And so when you think about like what the losses were in one calendar year, but you compound that, like you had the losses the year before and the year before and the year before, I mean, at some point it just becomes fatigue. Ag America, basically, our job is to help these landowners navigate these challenges and provide competitive and adaptive financing solutions to get them through these challenging times. Our accelerated loan program expedites the approval process for qualified borrowers to help them effectively navigate a competitive market to seize opportunity. Our pivot loan program provides landowners with the option to preserve and reinvest liquidity, making expansion more accessible, and goes back to our specialized expertise in agriculture and agricultural land, means our financial services include a wealth of knowledges around disaster relief aid, estate planning for that next generation, environmental regulations, grant opportunities, the list goes on and on. Somebody like me, I'm helping my family operation apply for these disaster relief aid programs. I'm helping them navigate with the Farm Services Agency. And so being able to take what I'm doing with my family and relate that to what a farmer might be doing at their operation and how they can take advantage of things that they may not know about has been huge and very additive to my ability to advise these farmers that and borrowers that we work with.
That's a great takeaway. And I love how you just captured in a nutshell, really, how complex land ownership can be in today's world. But here's the thing, right? Beyond everyday challenges, there's always a deeper layer that's top of mind for so many landowners, or at least should be. And that's the future, right? That's something that is right in your neck of the woods that you're talking about. And I read that there's this quote from Thomas Jefferson that I thought was really relevant to this discussion, that states, "He who owns the land owns the future." But in today's world, it's important to recognize that women are increasingly stepping into this role, taking ownership of not just the land, but the future it represents. And our team at UBS believes that land ownership really isn't just about creating a legacy. It's about empowering that next generation to grow, to innovate, and to thrive. So Marty, I'm curious, based on your conversations with landowners, what are landowners saying about preparing their land for the future generations while staying profitable today?
Well, farm succession and estate planning has never been more important. Only 23% of family farms report to actually having a succession plan in place. There's a lot of farms that once dad passes, he just assumes that everybody will figure it out when he's gone. 98% of American farms are family-owned, but only 30% survive into the next generation in today's world. That percentage drops even further to 12% by the third generation. A wave of land ownership transfer is on the horizon. I've mentioned earlier that the average age of the American farmer is 65 years old, and I don't know another business sector where that is the retirement age. That's normally when people are winding down. I spoke to my dad this morning at 5:30 and he was already up and on his way to the barn. So I don't think he's slowing down, and he's 67. It's something that we all need to be cognizant of. It's concerning. We spoke before about the lack of financial expertise in these rural communities. So they don't have a Gabby coming to them saying, okay, let's put a business plan in place. What does that transition look like? How much do you need to live in retirement? How much do you need to still maintain the farm, but, you know, start to take a step back? There are so many ways that your team can truly be helpful to these landowners and these farmers, because sometimes you just don't know what you don't know. And they're experts in farming, ranching, growing, and owning land, but they may not be in what they should be looking out for their estate or for the generational legacy. And that's so important. And generationally, land ownership is something that really was the American dream. It was home ownership, but for a lot of these farmers and ranchers, like owning their own operation and farming the land is the fulfillment of their lifelong legacy. And sometimes that legacy is 7, 8, 9 generations in this country, but they don't know how to do it. And that's why they need a UGABI, or they need an Ag America, or they need that financial services person to come in and say, all right, you know, let's sit down, let's make a plan, let's execute on the plan, and let's make sure that your legacy is preserved.
Right. That's such an important discussion, because I would think that part of that American dream that you're talking about with these farm owners is that they want to keep it in the family. I mean, you're living and breathing that, right? And that raises the stakes for landowners to balance the scales between profitability today and also a sustainable future. So that brings me to a big question for you. What practical strategies would you recommend to landowners looking to enhance the value and income potential of their property over the long term?
Operationally, if the most valuable asset you have is your land, how can you leverage that asset to help make other parts of your operation have less stress? So that might mean consolidating your debt. That might mean looking at some of your operational lines and transitioning those to more dirt in the ground. Lines of credit, that's just one idea. You know, one thing in the state of Florida that we have been so fortunate to have the support of our state government with the Rural Family Land Protection Act, those conservation easements are allowing families to continue to keep land in the hands of the people that want to keep farming it. A good example, I was talking to a borrower the other day, and they, you know, won one of the conservation easements. They went through the process. It's a very historic part of our state. The Florida Panther is now coming back and walking amongst their cattle operation, which is really cool if you're a Central Florida, you know, cattle person, that they're coming back to.
Or frightening.
To Hardy County. Yes, it's exciting. It's exciting. So not super exciting for some of the calves. We have to be a little more careful. But to know that the path of the Panther is really coming back is very cool. These conservation easements give the farmer and the dollars that they're getting from selling the conservation rights to the state, and so that they can't develop this land. And so we can have the panthers, the gopher tortoises, the wildlife and the timber and the trees and the pines remain, so that our state can remain a green state. The dollars that they're getting from the state gives us the ability to buy out family members that may need that liquidity, or may need to walk away, or have different interests, or live somewhere else, and they want out. There's another part of the family that wants to stay in. That's been a tremendous, tremendous help for farmers and ranchers specifically in the state of Florida. So we have the support of our state. We have the support. And I think as we wrap this up, that's the biggest takeaway for me, is that each of us, even if we aren't a farmer, if we're not a rancher, if the land that we own, maybe even it's just our little lot that our home sits on, or the real estate is our condo in Miami or New York, we can still buy local. We can still buy U.S. foods. We can still, you know, look for that fresh from Florida tag. We can buy local beef. We can be cognizant when we're at the grocery store. So each one of us has a part to play in making sure that landowners can survive and agriculture in the state of Florida can survive.
That's the aha moment, right? Go to your local grocery store, purchase the produce, support your farmers, and, you know, make that part of your daily routine.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Drink Florida orange juice.
Exactly. Drink Florida orange juice and run out to the grocery store at lunch if you have time.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
Perfect. I love it. And that's really all that we have for today, everyone. A huge thank you to Marty Hancock from Ag America for sharing your insights and very creative wisdom with us. I know I definitely came away with a fresh perspective. And to our audience, thank you for tuning in to the OPO podcast. On behalf of the UBS O'Leary partners, we hope today's conversation sparked some new ideas. And remember, we're always here for you. If you have questions or you want a second opinion, especially if you're looking to dive deeper into your land ownership journey, and keep an eye out for future OPO episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts filled with even more aha moments. Take care, everyone, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
This podcast is presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.